Imagine a life where you can spend according to your values, give generously, love richly, live intentionally, and handle your finances biblically. That's what the Faith and Finance podcast is all about. I'm your host, Adrienne Hildebrand, and on the Faith and Finance podcast, we discuss personal finance, intentional living, and value-aligned spending by sharing inspiring stories and practical topics to help you steward your finances in a way that honors God and builds your faith and wealth for the present and generations to come. Let's get started. Hey, Hannah, welcome to the Faith and Finance podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I am so excited you're here. We connected on Instagram and I just fell in love with your page, and you have really great, you're a great writer, and I love what you are doing, and you're just really relatable. So I really wanted to have you on the show, and I'm so glad that you're here. Actually, I'm so glad you reached out to me. Guys, she sent me a pitch that was amazing. Like, it was so good, so well written. I'm just like, can you write all my things for me ever? So Hannah, I'm so glad that you're here. Share who you are, what you do, and a little bit of your money story.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you. And thank you for acknowledging my writing, because now that is part of my job. So yes, thank you so much for having me. And I love talking about money, which is why I was like, I think I really want to be on your podcast. But I don't talk about it a lot in real life, because a lot of people know that it can be a very touchy subject with friends or family. So I'm excited to kind of go a little bit deeper here with you today. My money story, I mean, I feel like you could go way back. But I think what started a lot of like our debt-free journey was the birth of our second son. So we have a daughter now, she is 3.5, and our son is 1.5. And at the time I was on maternity leave, I was lucky enough to work for a company that gave me a very generous maternity leave, or actually parental leave, because fathers get it too, which is awesome. And I was getting closer to the end of that time, and we were thinking about, oh my goodness, how are we going to pay for two kids under the age of 2 to go to daycare full time? Because if any of your listeners or parents who work, they know like the astronomical cost of childcare. And so when we ran the numbers, it was going to be $36,000 a year to send both of our kids to full-time care. And we were like, oh, punched to the stomach. Like, that was just insane. And it was in that moment that I was like, this is why a lot of people who are educated and who have like good careers leave the workforce, because they are like, I'm not even really bringing very much money home after I pay for childcare. So that was kind of like the tipping point for us. We knew that I wanted to keep working and that I was making enough money that like I was still bringing home an income. But that was the like catalyst of really trying to look at our finances, because we had just been going along, like not paying attention to anything, thinking, oh, we make, you know, a good income, everything should be fine. But really we realized like we couldn't even, after all of our, you know, monthly debt payments, we couldn't even pay for our kids to go to daycare. And like that was a necessity. So that was kind of what spurred all of the money stuff. And that was in like June of 2018. And since that time, we've paid now almost $60,000 off in debt. And we are not 100% debt-free yet. We still have some student loans to go. But paying off that much got rid of almost all of our monthly payments that allowed us to create like a lot more margin in our life to make the decisions that we want to make, like for our family and our future. So yeah, that was kind of what started it all. Daycare.
Yeah. And I definitely know that there are people that listen to this podcast who can totally relate to that. Daycare expenses are astronomical. They're pretty crazy. But what I like about this what you were saying is that when you started paying off your debt, it created margin in your life. However, can you talk a little bit about, so obviously having your second child and daycare costs was like the impetus, I guess, for starting this journey. So can you talk a little bit about tactically what you guys did to pay off the debt?
Yeah. In the beginning, it was a lot of selling stuff and just trying to get some traction because we didn't have any extra money once we paid all of our bills. And so it came like, this is going to sound so silly to someone who isn't a parent, but to someone who is a parent, like I had this like dream double stroller because I knew that like with two kids under two that I was going to need this thing. And it was like $1,000. And my husband, Matt, bought it for me, for us. And I ended up turning right back around and selling that and buying a $100 stroller off Facebook Marketplace that we still use to this day, and it's fine. But in the beginning, it was a lot of selling things that we already had. And then we got to a point of, okay, but there's nothing left to get rid of. So my husband and I both started side hustles. So it was actually about the holiday season. Last year, he picked up a job at like an Amazon warehouse. So he would go to work at his corporate job from like 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and then would go work at Amazon from about 8 p.m. to like 2 or 3 a.m. So he was working all of the time. And at that point, I had like a 7-month-old and a 2.5-year-old. At home. And then I was working full time at my corporate job. And then I was also making meals for other families that would pay me. And so I started this business out of my house. And that brought in an extra like $500 to $1,000 every month.
Well, that's a lot of work, but
yeah, but I mean, I found ways to kind of streamline it, and it was something I could do at home once the kids were in bed, because with my husband working basically 24 hours a day, I couldn't leave to go to a second job, or else we would have to pay for more childcare. So I had to find something that I could do from home, and something that, you know, paid me more per hour than, I don't know, some other like work at home jobs. And I knew that I didn't want to go like a sales or MLM route. Cause I'm not like, that's not really my thing. So I got this idea from someone else in the debt-free community off Instagram, and I talked to her about it, and she gave me some tips and strategies, and I did it for maybe 6 months. And that like really helped us. It was cool. And a lot of times I had extra food left over and ended up feeding our family off of that. So that was good too.
That's amazing. So I feel like that's something for people listening right now, they're going to be like, hey, that's actually a really cool thing, because I have a lot of stay-at-home moms who listen to my podcast, or maybe like one income families, if it's the mom or the dad. So can you talk a little bit about some of the tips and tricks that she taught you and then that you learned? Like, how did you find clients? Like, were they paying for their food? Talk a little bit about that if you don't mind.
Yeah, of course. So I really loved the like model kind of, because I got payment from people up front, because this was something that I was like, oh, I don't want to have to buy all this stuff. And then what if I don't sell it? Or like that to me was going to be lost money. And we obviously did not have that kind of margin at the time. So I set it up in that there was an online order form. And when you ordered your meals, you paid up front. So that then I used that money to go grocery shopping and do all of the things like that. So I think that was one of the huge benefits, was that there was no like out of pocket startup costs. Again, I could do it from home after my kids were asleep. I also would do the Walmart grocery pickup. So I would just order everything online, and then I wouldn't even have to go in the store. I was doing Aldi for like picking up the groceries, but it ended up just taking too long. And again, they did not have the time for that. Right. So those were a couple of the things. And I didn't ask her, but I'm probably going to mention her. Her name is Katie, and her Instagram is Our Crazy Southern Nest. And so she has been doing this in her area for a really long time. And I talked to her about it. I do not live near her, so we were not like competing or anything like that. And so she shared some of her recipes with me. So if this is something you're interested in, I would feel free to go over to her Instagram page because she has a lot of things saved like in her highlight bubbles. Because she was kind of the one that gave me the idea. So it was amazing.
That's awesome. And it just goes to show, Hannah, that with a little bit of resilience and some creative thinking and just searching things out, that you can do this. Like, you can find something to do that will help you pay off your debt. Or if you're saving for something or whatever that looks like, if you have the determination and you get a little bit creative, you can find something. So there's not really excuses, right? I mean, we all have excuses, but there is a way.
Yes, there's a way. Awesome. And I think one of the things is that there's so many like mom groups on Facebook. And so if you're already part of those in your area, like that was where I was just telling people what I was doing. And a lot of groups have rules on when you can say things like, okay, Thursday is the day that you can promote your own services or anything like that. So you obviously have to like obey by the group rules. But that was basically how I found all of my people. Was people would either be posing a question like, oh, I can never get dinner on the table. Like, what do you do? And then I could chime in and like, here's my service and here's the solution. Or if there's a day that you're allowed to like promote yourself, that's when I would chime in. And then from there, it was like word of mouth. So yeah, only free things. I didn't want to pay for anything.
Yeah. And I don't blame you. Like, especially sometimes like MLM is really hard to get into because a lot of times you have to buy the stuff up front, which is like fine for some people, but for a lot of people who are paying off debt, they don't have that margin right now.
Yeah. It's like counterintuitive. You're like, well, wait. Yeah. And so I totally understand that. And also with MLMs, there can be a lot of competition. Like maybe there's, I don't know, 600 LuLaRoe people in your area. Like that's a lot of people selling the same thing that you are. And I live in like a pretty big metropolitan area where there are actual like brick and mortar businesses that do this kind of thing, but some of them just weren't in the right area for my clients or it was too expensive or anything. So I think that was a great thing about doing this was that there wasn't like a whole lot of existing competition that there can be with MLMs.
Sure. Yeah. That's such a good idea. So if anybody's been looking for some kind of idea and you like to cook or you can cook or you already cook for your own family, for sure. Like this sounds like a great idea. Just reach out to people. I know there's a lot of families who want to eat more at home and like make healthy meals for their families and whatever, but the time is money. And some people would rather not spend the time doing that. So like, if that's something that you want to do, that's a great thing.
Yeah. It's a great option.
Yeah. So you guys were paying off all this debt, basically selling, like Dave says, everything but the dog or whatever. How does he say? Or everything. And the kids think they're next or something like that. So you're doing all that. So how did you feel during that time? Like, do you really feel like it made waves for you? Feel like weird? Not weird. Yeah. What's the word I'm looking for? Do you ever feel like it was like worth it or what could you have done differently? Yeah. Or was it totally worth it? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that is such like a strange but also good question because I'm like, oh, how did I feel during that time? I mean, I felt stressed and overwhelmed and like, what the heck are we doing? But also like hopeful and knowing that like, okay, something better is going to come out of this and this isn't forever. Because again, I would have described us as like gazelle intense, but that lasted about a year. And honestly, we couldn't do much more than that. And some people can or want to, or I don't know, but I was feeling burnt out and maybe we will get to that point again one day. Like I hear that sometimes when you get very close to the end, when you see the like finish line is so close, you can get gazelle intense again. But it was such a strange feeling like all the time because I felt like I was never seeing my husband. This is a funny story. We were trying to sleep train our youngest and we only had a 2-bedroom house. And so we couldn't sleep train him in the same room as our daughter because then they would just wake each other up. So we gave him our room and we slept in the living room. And I mean, I was like, I can't believe I would ever do this. Or like, you would look at the income on paper that we made and people would think, why are you living in a two-bedroom house? Or why are you like sleeping on a mattress on the floor in the living room? But we knew what like our greater goals and plans were. So I think that keeping that, like those big dreams and why, is like the only way to keep yourself hopeful.
Yeah. And I think that's
because it can feel discouraging.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that's such a good point to, and that's something I always say too, is like, yes, there are things that I did too when we were getting through our debt-free journey that I would never want to do again, but I knew what the end goal was and I knew that it was just for a season.
Yes.
Were there things I may have changed? Sure. But I am not at all, I don't feel at all bad about paying off our debt, you know? And
yeah.
So that's a really good point too, Hannah, is keeping the things, the end goal in mind.
Yes. And everything is like a learning experience. Like, I don't really ever want to cook for other people again. But I learned some cool tricks about it. And like my husband, I'm pretty sure, never wants to go back and work at Amazon. He was joking about it again this like holiday season, but he can look at an Amazon package and like tell me what all of these different barcodes mean and like where it came from and where it's going. So just like everything is a learning experience. And also I do feel like it, if you're going through this as like a couple, it can make you stronger because you just are like, if we can overcome this, like we can tackle the next thing or anything like that. I think that doing it together is super helpful.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so true. It does help the relationship, as hard as it is to get through that. It does help, you know,
yeah.
Once you're out of it, you're like, oh, wow. Okay. Like we grew a lot during that time.
So yeah. Cause I feel like it can build like admiration for the other person. And I think that that's like a really strong thing to have in your marriage or your relationship, is that like, yes, you love the person and you probably like them most of the time, but if you can admire like how hard they're working or how resilient they are or the things that they're willing to sacrifice like for your family, and building that admiration, I think is like a huge tool to have in your like marriage toolbox.
Yeah. I love that. That's a really good point, Hannah. So, okay. So you paid off, you're paying off all this debt. You paid off $50,000. You literally gave your child your room. Like you've done, you've made you know, money doing this cooking thing on the side for other families. So it created some margin, as you noted, in your life.
Yeah.
So talk about then now that transition from, you've talked about your corporate job. So talk about, if you don't mind sharing, if you're able to, I don't know what kind of non-disclosure, whatever you said, but if you're able to talk about a little bit about what you used to do and how that has kind of correlated and why that happened and, or why you moved from your job, why all that happened. If you don't mind talking a little bit about that.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. So I had like an amazing job that most people would like be thrilled to have, and I worked there for about 4 years. I was at Square, the like little white card reader that you see at food trucks and things like that. But the company is much more than that, but it is a huge payment processor, and they also have the Cash App, the like money transferring app. And so I worked for them for almost 4 years, and it was an amazing place to work. I mean, they fed me breakfast, they fed me lunch. I got 16 weeks of fully paid maternity leave twice. I mean, it was an amazing place to be. And so I think that that was why it was very hard for me to find someplace else that I wanted to work. Because I couldn't really find any place better in our area. And one of the things that kind of made me take the leap into self-employment or freelancing was that the only way to like move up to the next step in my area was to move to either San Francisco or New York. And I wasn't really interested in doing that. Like just thinking of the math and like the money, I was like, okay, but are you going to pay me like four times my salary? I don't think so. So like, I don't want to move there. So I just felt kind of stuck. And I got to a point where I was just like, I don't really know what I'm doing there. I don't know if I'm serving a purpose. Like, I don't know if I'm using my skills in the right way. I just felt kind of like at this plateau. And I knew that we didn't want to move to one of those cities. So my husband and I just decided, like, I have skills and I can go use them somewhere else. But first we had to like really make sure that our budget could run on one income. And it could, but there was one thing, my daughter's dance lessons, that we were like, that's $75 a month. And if I made zero money, we wouldn't be able to pay for that. But that was the only thing. And so it created this margin where we were like, okay, we think that I can take this leap. Dave Ramsey always says, like, get the boat close enough to the dock or something like that, where when you do land on the dock, not in the water. Mm-hmm. And so that was part of it, was getting our budget like to the place where we can run totally on one income. Or if we had to take my daughter out of dance, that would not be the end of the world. But also, I was pretty sure I could make $75, like doing anything, you know? So that didn't really stop us. And then the other piece of it was getting clients in my freelance business before I left Square. So I started doing freelance stuff for about 2 months before I left. And it got to where I was almost fully replacing my Square, my corporate income. But I couldn't do any more than that because I just didn't have any more hours left in the day. So I was like, okay, I think it's time for me to just take the leap and leave corporate. And then I think the week I did that, I signed one more client that got me to the point of replacing my full-time income. So having that margin where you feel comfortable enough to do the things that you've been wanting to, but the money piece of it was holding you back. I think that that was like essential. Obviously, I could not be in the job I'm doing now if we were still paying for two cars and, you know, a million credit cards and things like that. I mean, you could, but I would not feel comfortable. I think I would feel stressed, and like I was always chasing money, and then I was signing clients that who I knew weren't a right fit for me. So yeah, I think that just having the ability to make those choices that are best for you is like a total benefit of getting your finances.
Yes. Oh, I love all of that, Hannah, because it's exactly what I talk about on here too. Like, I was able to quit a job I hated, and I have a new job, but my ultimate goal is I want to be an entrepreneur. Like, I want to be self-employed. Yeah. But had we not had a little bit of margin and we weren't completely debt-free yet, I wouldn't have been able to quit that job I hated, and I wouldn't be at the job I hate now, nor would I be able to do kind of other things that I'm doing. So you talked a little bit about skills, and you're like, I have skills. So how did your skills translate from your job into what you're now doing through freelancing? And if you don't mind expounding, I can't talk. I'm going to cut that part out. A little bit on the, what you actually do now too, like what you're actually
is. Absolutely. So I got my undergraduate degree in hospitality, which I'm always like, paid so much money for this degree that I've never used. I'm like, college is worthless, you know, and then I go down this rabbit hole. But then I decided I wanted to do communications, and I got my master's degree, which again, I'm like, I did not need to do any of those things, but I did them, and we're finishing up paying for them. So I have always kind of been in a communications style of role in all of my corporate jobs, whether that is like internal communications, external social media management. I've done like all kinds of event marketing things. So through like my past 9 years in corporate, it has always been communication style roles. And so I thought, okay, there are plenty of small businesses out there that need some communications and social media help. So I started freelancing as a Pinterest manager, and then I started expanding into podcast management because some of my clients that I was working for Pinterest are actually podcasters. And so I've been helping them figure out like how to do their workflow in a different way and how they can optimize their podcast content on Pinterest to get more cold traffic to all of the content that they're putting out there, because it takes a lot of work, right, to produce this content. Yes. And to just fall on deaf ears, you're kind of like, oh my gosh, this is so much work. So I do freelance podcast and Pinterest management for like online educators, and I was going to say most, but actually all of my clients are focused in like the parenting and family space. So again, like I was able to kind of choose the clients that I want to work with because like I really believe in their message and their purpose and what they are selling. If I can't connect to the mission of a company, I feel like I have a hard time effectively communicating what they're doing and knowing who their ideal customer is. And so being able to choose who I work for also has a huge impact on the like quality of work I'm able to produce. And that's all because we had like financial margin.
Yes. Like all the things you're saying are, you know, these are things, well, specifically, you know, you doing your dinners, that could be a side gig, but the bottom line is eventually we have said it over and over, margin, money is margin. And when you know how to manage your money and you have lived below your means, and you also are like, you know what, like I want to be able to also spend time with my children, you are able to make decisions that seem a little bit scary, but it's kind of like getting close enough to the dock, right? Before you yes. make the jump, making calculated risks, right? It's not just about, yes. let's just jump in the water and see what happens. And I think that there is, you know, I understand that, but also I'm actually yeah. reading a book by Adam Grant right now called Originals. And what he says is that, you know, he's a psychologist and he's done studies and whatever, but he says that the people who basically are the most successful are the ones who kind of dip their toe in first, and then mm-hmm. they're figuring out kind of what's going on. So he said like working a full-time job and then also side hustling basically to figure out their business. And like the Warby Parker, the people who started Warby Parker did that. And it's not necessarily about coming up with something brand new. It's about seeing what's out there, and creativity and originality can come from basically enhancing something that's already happening, right? So I say yeah. all that to say you have incredible skills, obviously, right? So you were able to say, you know what? I want to stay home with my kids. I also don't want to pay a bunch of money for my children to go to daycare when I know that I have skills that I can use to help other people and start something on the side, which has turned yeah. into a business. And you even said you've like almost, or you probably have at this point, replaced yeah. your salary from yeah. Square. And I'm like, yo, that's amazing. Like that
yeah,
is,
it's really cool. And like anybody can do it. I mean, right. I think that most people have skills that they can use. But you're right in that like testing it out phase mm-hmm. or not, like if this is something that you're interested in, whether it's a side hustle or, you know, quitting your job and going for something else, it's like not always looking at somebody else's like finished product or like middle ground or anything like that and thinking like, oh, why aren't I there yet? And I think that that was one of the things that I got a lot when I told people that I was quitting my job, was like, oh, must be nice. And I'm like, well, this wasn't just overnight. I was like, meh, I don't want to do that anymore. I mean, it took a lot of work to get to that point. And like, we knew that that was something that we wanted for our family. And so I think that just knowing that just because someone is where you want to be doesn't mean that it was like a super quick decision, that they probably did a lot of testing and background work to get to that point. And like, you can do it too.
Yeah.
But it yeah. might not be super easy, but you can do it.
Right. And I think the point too is like, Hannah, there is a point where until you're doing something, you don't really know like what it's going to look like, right? Like you're never really, you can prepare for marriage, but until you're married, you're not going to know yeah. how to be married. Or you can yeah. prepare for children, But until you have a child, you don't know what it's like to be a mother. And so it, the same can be said of, you know, jobs or careers or whatever. Like, start asking questions, start looking on the internet, start like seeing what other people are doing. I get questions all the time, Hannah, about how I started my podcast. I'm like, guys, like, I literally keep episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, because I mean, and we're not that far into it yet anyway, yeah. But I've evolved over time, even from the short amount of time that I've been doing the podcast, but I keep up those episodes to show like for anyone. And it's probably affecting my like plays, because people are starting at the beginning and probably like, this is weird. But no, I mean, it's not terrible, but it's yeah, like, it shows people that there's a process and a progress, right?
So yes. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that, number one, I want to say that I don't think it's probably hurting you, because people love to go back to the beginning and like binge listen. So it's great to just keep those episodes there. But yeah, you learn things through doing them, not through thinking about them. So if you want to be, I don't know, if you want to own your own bakery, like start doing something little, start small and start in the beginning and do it from home where you have a low investment and do it, you know, think of small ways. Like I know at our church, like there's a group of volunteers that bake all of the like communion bread every single week. I'm like, okay, maybe that's something that you could start doing, or I don't know, whatever it may be for you, but you learn things, whether you like them or you don't like them, or you're not actually as good as you thought you were, or whatever it may be, you learn it by doing it, not just by thinking. I think that you just really have to try something.
Yeah. And it's the same too, like you said, you went to school and studied hospitality, but then a lot of your jobs ended up being in communications. And then like a lot of that, it was probably innate to you, but also you yes. developed that skill over time and didn't probably realize really that you were so good at it until you started just doing it. That's why I'm like, to make an 18-year-old kid feel so pressured to have their life figured out is unrealistic. And it's unfair.
I hate that.
It's unfair.
I hate that. Yes, I agree.
So it's like, it's okay.
Adults don't even know.
Oh my gosh. I'm figuring out what I'm doing every day of my life. You know what I mean? It's
absolutely.
Like, it's just being open to kind of what doors God opens and being open yep. to, just what happens in your life. And when you're not having to worry about money and you're not having to worry about paying off debt, or you want to worry more about your children and spend more time with them, you're able to look at things more objectively. And also to say, okay, God, I have this crazy dream and I'm putting in the work now to say, you know, if you were to open that door for me, then I'm going to be ready when it opens. And it doesn't mean you have to have it all figured out. But I often share the story of like, I'm telling you, the first time I was like, I'm done living like this. We have no money ever, all the time. Like yeah. I made that decision in my, you know, we made that decision, and I'm telling you, almost immediately we started seeing results of that. So sometimes just committing to doing yes. something and following through, just like the podcast. I hadn't even had episode 1 yet. I hadn't even recorded it yet of December of 2018, got online, said, hey, I'm launching a podcast. I hadn't even recorded an episode, but I knew
that I needed that.
I know.
Like, totally fine.
Right. I needed the accountability, because I'm that kind yes. of person. I need accountability. And I'm like, if I tell this whole world, that like my whole personal friends, my community, that I'm hosting a podcast and it's coming out in January of 2019, well then Adrienne, you better record it. You know,
yeah, like, I better get moving.
Right. Yeah. Like we can talk ourselves out of those things too, Hannah, right? Like you could yes. have talked yourself out of, okay, but like, is anyone actually going to hire me? But you don't know until you try. Like,
yes.
You just don't know.
Yeah. And I think what you said about like, you know, being open to, or being able to say yes to like the doors that God opens is like a huge thing, because I mean, there may be a lot of opportunities that come your way that in the time in which you're paying off debt, or that you're struggling financially, that you can't say yes to. And you might not even actually know that they were opportunities at the time, right? But like looking back, you may have noticed like, oh, but now when you have like this grasp on your finances and what your goals are, and you're working together like as a family, I think you are more in tune with kind of the way that like the plan is unfolding and how you can say yes to the right things and no to the things that are not going to move you in the right direction.
Yes. And I think we get so scared of just taking a step, any step, right? Like there are very few decisions that you make in your life that will drastically change the course of your life in a negative way, right? Like what I mean is it's not the end of the world if you should have went to this one place and you went to another place, right? Like we get so afraid of that when in reality, if we are doing what we know to do, if we are praying and reading the word and trying to live for him and doing what's right, and it doesn't mean you have to be perfect, but we're trying to live for God. Like he's going to lead us and guide us. It says that he is a lamp unto our feet. Like lamps don't shine very bright in front of you, right? It's not a
that's true.
Not a flashlight, because even like an oil lamp doesn't really shine that
far. Yeah, it shines for like one step,
exactly,
maybe two.
exactly Hannah, like just you taking one step, you say, well, you really be a decision to decide we're going to pay off this debt, we're getting this mug out of our life, and you made some extreme decisions, even some maybe now you're like, you know what, we probably didn't need to be that extreme, but it didn't like drastically in a negative way deter your life, you know what I'm saying? Like we get so caught up in our brains, and I'm preaching to myself. Like the
we say the things that really we need to hear. So it's okay.
Yes. So I'm just like with you, Hannah, everything you've said, I'm just like, yes, ma'am, preach.
Yeah.
So is there anything else you wanted to share today?
Oh my goodness. I think that one of the biggest things is that, I don't know, just because you have children doesn't mean that you can't do things, whether that be paying off debt, whether that be trying like a new dream for yourself, whether that be, you know, I don't know, insert your thing here, but like, don't use your children as an excuse. Use them as your motivation to do something. Because that was, we could have been like, oh, I guess we're just going to have to take out another credit card to pay for our kids to go to daycare. And oh, well, I guess that's just how it is. I think really using them as like the motivation to be like, oh, if we want to pay for their college, like we need to figure out what we need to do now, because that's not magically going to happen. So I think that's like my biggest thing that I want people to like feel inspired by, is that your children should not be the thing that holds you back. They should actually be the thing that's like pushing you forward.
Yeah, I love that. Because at the end of the day, like you want your kids to be able to look back and say, you know what, my mom did whatever it took to follow her dreams. And in return, like, and in return for that, it helped us to follow our dreams, right? Like, because she was able to, we were able to see in action that, hey, this thing that people say is impossible is actually possible because my mother did it, right?
Yeah.
So I think you're so right. Like flipping the script a little bit, and I'm not a mother, you know, I will be someday, but you know, God willing, but just getting that in our minds that like at the end of the day, we have this one life. Like, you know what I mean? We get one life. And if you really care about your children the way that you do, and that doesn't mean you go out and you have to like start a business or whatever, but whatever that looks like for you in your life, you know, follow God and say, okay, Lord, like here I am.
Yeah.
So I love that, Hannah. Where can everyone find you at if they want to get more in contact with you?
Probably the best place is my Instagram, which is Mrs. like MRS dot Hannah, like Hannah Montana, dot Winslow. So I also have a website, but I'm about to be refreshing that. So in the future it will be HannahWinslow.net. And then I am also starting a podcast. So Adrian, I did the same thing where I was like, I think I'm just going to do this. And I just announced it to people. And now I'm like, okay, I bought the domain. Like I'm really doing this.
Yeah.
And so the podcast is going to be called Why Didn't Anyone Tell Me? And the website for that will be Why Didn't Anyone Tell Me podcast.com. And I'm hoping to launch it in like early, I don't know if it's winter, spring, you know, I feel like those seasons run into each other. But yeah, I feel like those are all the places, and I would love to see any new faces and say hi to people. And yeah, I talk about things like business, motherhood, money, things like that. So
I love it. And that's such a great title for a podcast too. And I know that everyone has enjoyed hearing you today, hearing your heart, and you're just so fun and relatable. And I love following Hannah on Instagram because she's great. So I will definitely link all of that in the show notes. This has been awesome, Hannah. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. I love being able to talk about this money stuff with people. It's so fun. So thank you so much.
Of course.